We're living in a day and time. We're being politically correct. It's popular. Let me turn that around again. We're living in a day and time where everybody's saying the name of God, but nobody wants to say the name Jesus. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't want to offend the Jews. We don't want to offend the Arabs. And so therefore we crucify him of flesh. But I want you to know that there will come a time when every Muslim, when every Buddhist, when every Jew will have to get down on their knees and have to confess that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So I want every blood-washed believer to not wait until then. And if you've ever gone through something, you know right here,
tell them
that there's something about the name.
Something, y'all.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name.
Something about the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
I know.
And I love that name.
Oh, how I love.
Is the sweetest name,
That's right.
Just take a minute and explain to him what you're really trying to say. What you're really trying to say.
Some people say I'm crazy, but
I can't explain.
The power that I feel
when you call his name.
When I call your name.
That's fire.
That is just like fire.
Where's it?
Shut up
and move. Holy Ghost.
When the Holy Ghost gets the movement, that he won't leave me alone.
Put it up with us, y'all. Put it up with us. Everybody.
Something about the name. Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name
I know. Wave at me if you love that name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the
How sweet is it? I want you to tell Detroit for a minute. How sweet is it? Sweeter than honey.
That is sweeter than honey. From the honeycomb.
Yes, sir.
When the Holy Ghost gets to moving,
just won't leave me alone.
Said he won't leave me alone.
Oh, no. Now tell every Muslim, every Jew, at the name of
at
Jesus.
At the name of Jesus.
What's going to happen someday?
Henry and me have got to bow.
Well, tell them don't wait.
You don't have to wait till the fire comes.
What can they do?
You can clap your hands.
Right now.
Ah! Oh, yeah.
Hey, come on, let me hear you.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about that name.
Something about the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
Something about the name.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. It is something about the name of Jesus. And yes, I can attest that it is the sweetest thing that I know. When I hear this song, it just brings so much joy, but it's a peace of joy that comes into my life. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? If it wasn't for the blood that he shed on Calvary, where would we be? And it's just the different things that you and I have went through in life. If God was not on our side, if God did not have the master plan for you and I, and that was for his son to die on Calvary for sinners like you and I, where would we be? So when you hear the name of Jesus, you should just have a reverence in your soul, in your spirit, in your body, in your mind, where you just stand straight up, and have, or even if you may just go to your knees, wherever it is at that time. But I sit and say to you, South Africa, Fiji, United Kingdom, Australia, Jamaica, wherever you're at, we should always have the highest praise because of what Jesus has done and what he continuously still do. Although he ascended, he left us with the comforter, and that's the most beautiful part. And that comforter is with you and I today as we start our day at our executive meeting where we will eat the daily manna and we will drink the living waters where we will thirst no more. Why? Because Jesus loves us. Why? Because it's something about the name of Jesus. It is something about the name of Jesus. So as you walk around today, just call on the name of Jesus. Just show him that it is our in the name of Jesus. Just show him that the blood of Jesus does go through the mountains, goes down in the valley, and it still populates in our body. It is something about the name of Jesus. I say good morning to you. Welcome to this marvelous Monday. Yes, it is Monday all over again. Monday all over again. As we have God in our presence, I just tell you, thank you for joining us. And as we go through this week, we pray that God just continuously bless us. He continuously to pour into us, and he just allow an overflow, his Holy Ghost power to consume us. Good morning, Minister Shakita. Bring us in prayer.
Good morning, Yvette, and good morning, Saints. Thank you again for tuning in with us at our executive meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, O Lord. And we thank you, God, for coming in. We thank you, Jesus Christ, Lord, for sitting in with us. Like once, God, it's a blessing for you to come in with us and sit with us and be in our presence, O God, and continue to put an anointing and blessings in our heart, O God. We thank you, O God, for this day, O God. It's another day, O God, once again, God. We thank you for it's Monday, O God. Another day to do it again, O God. Another day to get right. Another day to do the things within you, O God. Another day to look towards you, O God. To press towards you, O God. To stay steadfast in this race, O God. Another day, God, to do the things that you have us to do, O God. The righteousness that you have us to do, O God. Another day to purify our heart, O God. Another day to cleanse our soul, O God. Another day to get our spirit right with you, O God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God. We thank you for the days that you're pressing us, oh God, to give us the birthright, God, to walk into the light of you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God, forevermore, oh God. We thank you for the anointing that you're giving us, oh God. We thank you for the blessings that you're giving us, oh God. We thank you for the everlasting peace, God, that you've given us, oh God, that the burdens have lifted off of our shoulder, God, and the chains are breaking off our feet and hand, oh God, and the burdens are breaking off our minds, oh God. We thank you for this, oh God. We thank you for the pureness of heart that you're bringing into us, oh God. We thank you for this, oh God. We thank you for the light that you're starting to bring into our life, God, that we know that all things are coming from you, oh God. So we shall trust you, God, for all things that's going on, oh God. For we know that things that you were doing, God, the things that you are doing, God, you surely have your hands in it, God, because you would not have us here at this point in time, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God, and forevermore, oh God. We shall praise your name from here to the mountaintops, oh God. From the mountaintops to the heavens, oh God, we shall reach you and praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah, God, is you, oh God. We shall love forevermore, oh God. We praise your name, oh God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God, for all the things that you're doing in us that we cannot understand, oh God, but we know that you, God, is you doing it, oh God. We thank you, God, for all the things, God. We thank you, God, for everything, oh God. We praise you, God. We put the trust in you, oh God, that things are working out, oh God. We know that it's you, oh God, forevermore and everlasting. Hallelujah, God. We praise your name. Amen, 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 oh God. Hallelujah, God. It's you, oh Jehovah Jireh. Yes, your God, Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just give God some praise right where we're at right now. Just give him his praise. Just shout out glory. Just shout out hallelujah. Just shout out, I thank you, Lord. Wherever you're at right now, just have the boldness and the confidence. Don't look around. Don't worry about what the next person say, because you are in a relationship with God. And so it does not matter what anybody else say. Just give God his praise, because he is so worthy to be praised. Why? This is the day that he has made. And we all, he didn't say some of us. He said we shall rejoice. So that means all over this world, we are in a place in our spiritual zone where we shall rejoice, because God made this day. He gave us new mercies. He gave us a new beginning, a new morning, a morning where we have the authority, the ability, the potential to change things that's going before us in this day. You may come up across an obstacle. You have the authority to tell that, to command that obstacle to get out of your face. You have the authority to walk through that obstacle. So we need to give God his praise. We need to honor him, because he chose you and I. He gave us those abilities. He gave us those potentials to do things, to be game changers, to make things happen. And we have to be in a place where we grab hold to it and we allow it to manifest through us so God can get the glory. So I say on this morning, I will say it for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise your holy name. You are so worthy to be praised. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are a marvelous, miraculous God. So for this, I give you all the honor, and I pray that my actions allow you to be glorified in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So as you all know, listen, I can't touch yesterday's message, but I just wanted to tell y'all this. The message was call 911. The word came from out of Ecclesiastes 3. The main verse was verse 11, and I'm sitting and telling you that it was one of the most powerful sermons that I have heard in my life. And the reason being, see, one thing about God, he knows the timing. He knows just what we're going through. Even when you sit into a place of secrecy, even when you sit into a place where you do not want to open your mouth, and you think man may not know what you got going on, but God knows what you got going on. And see, when God calls on his prophets, he's downpouring
different information into the downpouring in the belly. And he told Ezekiel, eat my word. And this is what he's doing with the prophets, the real prophets right now. He's putting stuff in them so they can come back out and help people. I'm going to sit and say this. The word of God was for me. That's just how transparent I am. I need sometimes to sit back in the passenger seat. I sometimes need to sit over on the passenger side, but knowing that God is going to get me to my final destination. He's going to allow me to be blessed, because the person that may be driving me at that time may be the blessee, or may be the person that God has chosen that he's going to give that person favor. Because I'm in the shadows, because I am in the car, I'm going to get to my destination, and I'm going to reap the reward as well. It was such a powerful word. If you can't have the opportunity to go on the website, on the Blog Talk website, and listen to that word, it was a well much needed word. And that call 911 is when you have just exhausted all measures. You came to the place where you realized that I'm tired, I'm defeated, I can't go anymore. I need a resurrection. I need to be resuscitated. I need to be revived. And I'm going to tell you something. When God was sitting and speaking the words, I was just sitting there texting, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I was thanking him because he came in and he resuscitated me. He gave me, he revived me. He took some things, some heavy burdens off of me. He lifted some things off of me. And not only that, it was a confirmation. It was a confirmation. I was just the night before, 5 hours straight, just tarrying before the Lord, just asking him some things. And this is the thing, because of the dedication, because of the loyalty, because of the commitment, God came and gave me that 911 call. He gave me that answer. And I'm telling you, today, I'm just as light as a feather, because for the last couple of months, even if I feel that I wasn't heavy burdened down with some issues that I have going on, yesterday, the confirmation came through, and I got my answers. I put in a 911 call, and God gave me my answer. And today, my feet are as light as a deer. And I just have to tell God, thank you. But that takes us into this morning, talking about the word trust. Talking about the word trust, because in order for you, even when you're going through situations, we sit and we petition God and we ask God for different things, and we sit and say, Father, I trust you. But then you have to ask yourself, do you really trust him? When the times get so hard, when you're on that ledge and about to fall over, when everything that you have tried to do does not work for you, do you really trust God? Are you really leaving it at the throne? Are you really casting all your burdens over to the Lord? Are you doing that? Or is it just a word that you just so eloquently throw out of your mouth because you want people to feel like, okay, I got to be this powerhouse. I got to be this power pack. So I have to sit and say, I trust God, when in all reality that you don't. Because I'm going to keep it pure and transparent. My situation is so heavy that I really was feeling like I was trusting God. But then when an opportunity came up to give me a little escape, my spouse and I, my husband and I, we got to the point where we was like sitting and saying, well, should we take this opportunity? But see, the 911 call came in yesterday. Then the message came in yesterday to let us know we leaning on our own understanding. If we trust in God, we're going to go through the process. We're not going to take any shortcuts. We're going to go through the process knowing that God is our provider, knowing that he is our safe haven, knowing that he and only he can be the person to bring us. See, we get into a position when different things come up, and we know the tempter is always there to tempt us. And we continue as a people to go and try to take the easy road out when God has already given you the master plan. God has already spoken over the situation by three people that I trust with my life. When I say trust with my life, I can lay at their feet and sit and say, okay, I can, if I need it, breath, huh? They're going to give me breath. But we sat and contemplated of taking another way that would have still brought a discord, that would have still brought a separation, that would have still been in a place where we did not get the answer or we did not get what God has for us. On yesterday, the word said, what God has for you, it is for you. We always sit and we intercept the wrong. It's like you on a football field and a quarterback throws the ball and it is intended for somebody else, but you jump into that in front of that person and you receive that ball, and you may think that that was the ball that God had for you, but see, that ball wasn't for you. That ball was intended for someone else. Some people may look at it as a blessing, but it also can be a curse, because if you're trusting in God as you say you are, then you won't have a problem with going the whole length of the football field. You won't have a problem with going step by step, knowing that you are going to get your instructions from God. And when you get your instructions from God, you're going to obey them. And that's one thing that I like about Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, the entire scripture from verse 1 to 6, David is basically saying to the Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I love the way King James Version, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's saying, you are my shepherd. You are over me. You are my leader. You are my guide. You give me my directions, so I'm going to trust you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's still leading. He trusts. In order for a person to lead you and you to get a good outcome, or for you to be successful, you have to trust that person. How they tell you, they give you, you may sit and say, how can that be? But you're still taking the instructions. You're trusting them. You're trusting to know that this is the right path. I'm not going to lean on into my own understanding. Number three, he restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That leading, in order for you to be led again, it goes to trust. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Fear, huh? Fear, if you have the spirit of fear, that means that you are not trusting God. You are not trusting God. And it is a humanistic feeling. It is a feeling that we all, whether some people daily, some people are overcomer of it, some people have been delivered, but for the most part, everybody, if a person sit and tell you that they have never experienced fear, or they are so confident, or they're so bold, or what, they may have been delivered from fear, but situations and circumstances come up and a little bit of fear comes in to your situation. But see, when you trust the Lord, when you trust in him, it immediately go away. In Jehovah, I got it. God always taking me back to 2 Chronicles 20. When Jehoshaphat was told that the armies, all the ITs, was coming up to fight against him, The scripture says there was a, he had a moment, a second. It doesn't say a moment, a second. I'm paraphrasing. There was fear, but that fear instantly went into to trust God. It was there for a quick second. Why? Because he has already made a decision that he was going to trust God. And that's all I'm sitting and telling you all on today. We have to put ourselves in a place where we let nothing and nobody separate the trust that we have from God, for God. And that comes from us getting to know him, knowing his, feeling his presence, being comfortable in him, having confidence that he will do what he says he will do, remembering and reminding him of his promises, which are yes and amen, knowing that he is not a man and he shall not lie, knowing that his words never come back void. Good morning, Apostle Temple. How are you this morning? Bringing you on in, sir.
Amen. God bless you all. We just thank God for who he is. And God bless you all, partners and listeners and everybody that just tuning in this morning. It is a blessing. You know what? This is something that not only that I really have to teach, but this is something, this information, especially what I'm going to share, just a little piece of it with you all this morning. I really need to get it into a book for you all, for you all to really begin to grasp and learn. Because, you know, be honest with you, trust is one of the hardest messages to articulate. It's one of the hardest messages to articulate, and it's one of the easiest word in the body of Christ to get wrong. You know, it really is. Even though it sounds so simple, even the context of it, it sounds so simple, and it sounds, you know, this is what I need to do, and this is what it is. But it's really a hard word to articulate into the body of Christ, into a message, because it really going to go against the grain of a lot of traditional teaching, the steps of trust, the steps of getting the trust. Because, you know, let me just give you a sneak peek, and I really want to, and it's really a series to really to teach you each areas and each levels and each different steps of trust. But let me give you a sneak peek. You know, the first thing, you don't start off trusting. You don't start off trusting the Lord. And many people begin to articulate trust as if we start off trusting. No, you do not. And, you know, I know the religion faith or people that are religion, this what I just said probably make them just squinch up, you know, because at the, let the truth be told, they don't start off trusting. It's nobody here could say that as soon as they got saved or as soon as they believe in God or they came into a place with God, they start off fully trusting God. No, you don't start off trusting. Matter of fact, God have not even made us as human beings to have that option to where all of a sudden we fully trust people. Amen? We trust to the point of not having certain knowledge or not knowing certain things. Amen? So as a child begins to trust. Strangers, they begin to trust different things because they don't have certain knowledge. They don't have certain understanding. They don't have certain matureness, or they have not grown into certain areas in their life, have not been developed and matureness. Amen. They have not lived or experienced enough or enough danger or enough things out there to understand, you know, should I trust this or should I trust that? So we already developed with trust. We already developed that. That's one of the characteristics that we have of God. The Bible says we are made in his image. That's one of the image that God gave us, the characteristic. But the thing that happened is the truth of life. When the tree of the knowledge of the truth of life back into the Garden of Eden, that began to open up the option of trust. that's where the trust of man and the trust that God has for man and different things has to be reestablished. Now, it has to be reestablished with different areas or different things that is embedded with an individual. So it comes to a point to where you have a difficult time of trusting. Same thing in the Garden of Eden. Adam, you know, and the Lord, they had much trust in each other. God had trust in Adam. Adam had trust in God, had trust in everything that God provided him. But it's the trust got compromised. The trust got compromised with Eve. Now, understand this. Adam trusted Eve. God trusted everything. It was a lot of trust that going on, trust of destruction, trust of what I told y'all not to do, you know, trust that you're going to obey. It was a lot of trust that was established there. You know, it was just automatically established. But it was a flaw here. It was a flaw because it was somebody did not have the correct knowledge of the correct understanding or the correct teaching. And it was somebody here that not been developed maturely correctly. So now when the serpent came to deal with this individual that have not had the fully understanding, been fully taught, all they was done told. Amen. How many of you in your life, all you was just told? You were told not to do this. You were told to do this. You were told. Let's get to our spiritual place. You were told to believe in God. You was told to trust God. You was told to have faith. You was told so many things. But how many of you that things that you was told, let's be truthful, at the beginning or even in your walk for some time, you haven't seen it work. Amen? Let's be honest. You haven't seen it work. You was told to believe in God, but your life still was shut off. You was told to have faith in God, but you still got homeless. You was told to trust in him. Loved one still got incarcerated or someone still passed. Amen? Let's be honest here. Amen? And I wish the body of Christ could really be honest. And what we do, we put a band-aid over it and say, well, you just still got to believe. You still got to hold on. Amen? I took that band-aid off a long time ago, and I had to ask some questions because at the end of the day, the reality, what I'm feeling and what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing is not what I'm being told, or it's not what I'm being taught. I'm seeing a different reality. I'm seeing a different experience. I'm seeing something totally different, and it's happening totally different in my life. Amen? And you're living the best way you know how. You're trying everything that you know how. Amen? But it's not working. So the trust got compromised in the garden with Eve, amen? When the serpent came to Eve, Eve did what he had to do. Then guess what happened? Then Adam ate something that God told him don't eat. He didn't eat it from himself. He ate it from somebody else, amen? And this is where the compromise comes in at, and this is where the trust and the things of trust has to be redefined. And it has to be redefined. Why? Because you got to think about this. God told Adam, don't eat the fruit. Correct. But God did not tell Adam, don't eat the fruit from Eve. Oh, my goodness. I think Bible scholars don't threw the book at me. Amen. He never said, don't eat the fruit from Eve. So watch this. Adam got caught off not paying attention. Wasn't paying attention? Watch this wife. He wasn't trying to say, where you get this fruit from? And where this is, you know, want to be a skeptic, trying to be an investigator, trying to look at everything. Nope. Wife brought him something here, eat this here, ate that there. Oh, my goodness. Amen. So the trust got compromised. Now the trust has to be redefined. So you just don't automatically, my God, once you come into matureness, once you come into knowledge, once you come into understanding with the different things of life, you just don't automatically hit the switch. It has to be earned. Our trust with God, it has to be earned. God want to earn your trust. Listen to me, saints of God. God wants to earn your trust. It's not something that is given anymore. That was done and that was broken, or that covenant there was broken in the garden. Amen. He wants to earn your trust. God wants to earn your trust. He wants you to earn his trust. Amen. It is something that is not given. It is something that it is earned. Amen. You just not, well, listen, you don't be in relationships. You know, been with individuals, amen, especially when your first relationship, when you're young, amen. You're young, you automatically just start trusting this individual. Then next thing you know, this individual done you wrong. So here come this same feeling or this same issue, but it's just a different scenario that happened in the Garden of Eden. You started off trusting, but the trust got compromised. So now this is what happened. So now when wisdom come in after situations that happen. So wisdom always come in. Life don't took you to school, you don't have some downfalls, you don't have some things that don't happen, you don't been hurt, you know, wisdom come in. Wisdom start teaching you now and start letting you know, say, look here, don't be so easily to give what God gave to you. People have to earn that now, because this is the result that you get when folks don't come in to earn. You need to develop an eye. You need to understand this. You need to understand that. You need to understand this. Amen. You need to be careful with that. You need to be cautious with that, because at the end of the day, you'll be the main person to get burned. So your trust has to be earned. Same trust what God gave Adam in the garden. Now the trust is just not automatically given. It has to be what? It has to be earned. Amen? We have to earn God's trust, and God want to earn our trust. That's what makes a relationship. And that same type of steps, it happened into relationship to this day. Amen? Husband and wife. Amen? We earn each other's trust. I trust my wife. My wife trusts me. Amen? We earn. It begins a development. It doesn't start when I say I do to her. It starts during courtship. Amen? And this is the step to where another book needs to get written out, if I can help the church, how to develop an explosive relationship with God. Many people trying to jump into a relationship where then the relationship is not working, because you should have courted that individual before, to get to know that individual before you made a commitment to that individual. I bless God for my mom and them. I bless God for grandma and them, because grandma and them, they tell you, you need to get here and get saved, and they put you at the altar. You're going to scream, you're going to cry, you're going to do all this kind of stuff till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's automatically they are making a marriage with something that you wasn't ready for. You wasn't ready for that, amen? Because you don't need to know God. You need to get to know God. You don't even know no word. They just tell you this is what you need to do. And what God says, I need to develop, I need to coach you, I want to experience you, I want to talk to you, amen? I want to get to know you. And this is where true trust begins to develop. The church skipped over, my God, courtship, and they went straight into relationship. Understand this, courtship is a part of relationship. That is the first stage to come into relationship that drives you into trust and love. Y'all hear me this morning, amen? And we have to understand that it's an area that has to be developed. It's no one going to tell me that now you've grown with your grown self, you don't experience something, now you don't come into the salvation of the Lord, you want to trust God automatically. Automatically, you trust God to pay your bills. Let's stop it, saints. Let's stop the church lies. Automatically, you having faith that God's going to show up. Let's stop the church lies. Amen? Because some of you is still, many of you is still struggling now, letting God, but having faith that God's going to show up when he's going to show up. Because why? You out there trying to get it on your own. Amen? You out there trying to do whatever you got to do, even if you're doing it illegally, to do what you got to do to get it on your own. So we got to redefine. Fine, or come with the correct commentary, especially in the body of Christ, pertaining to trust. Like I said, it's one of the hardest things to articulate, amen? But so many people throw it out there so loosely, but no, when you really break it down and you really look at trust from eye to eye for what it is very difficult to articulate, because you just don't start off trusting anybody. Amen. Why? Because you done been through some things. You done had some enough. You got some knowledge on certain things. You done been matured on certain things. You just not going to put your faith in it, everything. You got to understand. Now let's look from the spiritual standpoint of godly view. Let's get out of this thing. Well, we know who God is. We understand all that. Look at this. We was born in sin. Come on, somebody. Y'all say this. So many of you say that on every Sunday. We was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. What is sin? What is iniquity? It is filth. It is mess. It deals with you have the potential to betray. You have the potential for betrayal. You have the potential to lie. You have the potential, amen, to do all unholy things that is displeasing to the Lord. So if we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, all of something God supposed to trust us. He supposed to trust a sinner. He supposed to trust somebody that is shaped in iniquity. Come on, somebody. Y'all better get, come on, let's use spiritual common sense here. Amen. Before I take you to scripture. Amen. He supposed to automatically trust us. So he supposed to automatically trust a liar. He supposed to automatically trust a sinner. You mean to tell me we cannot, we don't have to redeem ourselves to gain the trust of God? No. This is what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, see, in the Old Testament, God did not play with it. He did the trust, my God, he didn't really trust nobody. He didn't trust nobody capabilities, amen, my God Almighty, in the garden. After that happened with Adam and Eve, that was it. God didn't play with you, amen. You come with that nonsense. You come with that sin. You will drop dead. He will kill you, amen. The trust got reestablished back when Jesus came to die for the sin and the iniquity. So now what happened is, it says, watch this. Jesus is saying, and Jesus' life that he gave, Father, amen, we're going to regain or we're going to renew our covenant relationship back to you through the sacrifice of the Son. So now the covenant is rewritten to where trust, we will earn your trust and you will earn our trust. Because people did not have, it's a lot of people. Now, we could go into the depthness of the word. It's a lot of people did not have trust in God. They were scared of God, not for the good reason. They were scared of God because they knew God will strike your tail down. He didn't play. Don't you, have you read Sodom and Gomorrah? Have you read about Jonah, the story of Jonah? They turned around. Them folks were fearful of their life. God did not play. So it was a reestablishment came back, and it came back into the book of Malachi 3:1. Amen. When it was talking about the new messenger and new covenant, it had to restore everything. So now God, the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world, for the sins of the people. Amen. Now, my God, God said, okay, I'm not going to allow your sins to affect. Amen. My God, your chances to come in good graces with me. You can earn your trust, but I'm just not going to freely give it away. And my goodness, I wish I had more time. I told you all, this is a lot. Amen? It is a lot. And that was through the sacrifice or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now we have opportunity instead of we putting our trust in the high priest, because that's what they did in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, all the trust came through who? The high priest. The offering up, the sacrifices, amen, everything up came up. So when the high priest was on good terms with the Lord was on good terms with everybody until the high priest saw I want to do what they want to do, and it talks about that in Malachi when they want to give God all kinds of nonsense other than giving God their best. So God had a problem with that. So now God got another trust issue. I can't even trust you that I could bless your land, I could bless your home, I could bless your house, and I can't even trust you to give me your best. You want to
give me everything else, but you cannot give me your best. So now that's it's over. Now it's over. I can't recommit back to y'all humans. So 3-1, I'm got to send somebody else. I need to send a messenger. I'm going to send a sacrifice. Amen. Matthew comes. Now here comes the Son of God being born. John the Baptist before then preparing the way. Say a Savior is coming. He's going to baptize you with the holy fire. Amen. All this kind of stuff. Why? Because the issue between man and God, that trust was broken. Jesus had to remend and reestablish the law back to that trust. Now the trust is not given, it is earned. My goodness, I got to go, you all. That was a lot, and it's just an introduction. My goodness, back to you, Evangelist. I hope I'll help open up someone's eyes and begin to look into a different way. So, people of God, those that is listening, if you're not trusting right off the bat, don't beat yourself down. Go and take a step back and establish where you at in the relationship with God. Some of you probably be still in courtship, and God is still trying to show you that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. He is the healer. He is a deliverer. Amen? And he want to show you that he's not a man, that he shall not lie. He want to prove that to you. He want to prove to you. The Bible say, try the spirit by the spirit. Come on, saints of God. Y'all know the word. Amen? And he want to prove himself to you. Amen? Some of you, you're struggling because you are not allowing God to prove himself to me, to you. Reason why I'm sold out. Reason why I'm a faith walker. Reason why my God Almighty, my belief is out the roof with God, because he proved himself to me. Reason why God said, I could trust you, son, because I proved myself to him. It wasn't something that it was given to me. It wasn't something that automatically, oh, that's God apostle. So what? If so many apostles now still are facing hell, fire, brimstone, amen, that just an office, my God, to walk in to do our assignment. But at the end of the day, God had high priests that he didn't trust. He had servants that he didn't trust. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's not about your office. It's about your relation. Got you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. What am I to say? Except for we thank God for our apostle. As he, the apostle, pours into us, the congregation, and he continues to develop us with his godly wisdom, his godly knowledge, his godly understanding in the area of trust. Because one thing about God, like we've said over and over, he will open our eyes. And this is a time, and this is the time that scales are being pulled off of eyes. It is a time. You just have to make sure that you are in the right place. You have to be that person that's willingly in a place to receive what God is pouring into you. He's pouring it into Apostle, and he's downloading it, and it's coming back out. And I love when the Holy Spirit just comes in and take over. That's when you know that you're in the right vein. You know that you're in the right vein when God can come and take a word. The Holy Spirit can come and take a word and expound on it. The Holy Spirit can come and take a word and take you into a higher place and your depth, higher and lower and wider. It gets so broad. It gets into an unlimited place. Like Apostle Temple say, it's so much to it. It's so much to it that it could be series of books. And as we continue to pray and encourage God to just put those words into a book, because it is nothing better than being able to go and read something and read it again and outline it and take your highlighters and date it and be able to go back again and just learn. It is so much information that can, it's only so much that can be given to you on the broadcast. But this is why everybody, you have to go, you have to study your word. You have to meditate on your word. You have to, you must. I'm going to use the word must, M-U-S-T. You must develop that intimate relationship with God.
as Apostle Temple said, he sold out, and he's a faith walker because he proved himself to God, and God proved himself to him. And this is what allowed him to trust. He didn't just run into a situation and say, God, I trust you, because neither did I. Neither did I. As I started, I was saying, it's just so much that we go through. We have to. It is a form. It's something that you have to develop. And as Apostle, the words were said so eloquently. The words were so profound. And this is why he is able. He's on a platform right now to preach, to teach. And so he has so many different, prophetically speak, so many different things that he can add to this. And we thank the apostle for being in a place of receiving and then being a giver, a blesser. See, we sometimes look for blessings in financially, but I'm going to tell you something. The one of richest things in my book in the world is the true unadulterated word of God. Something that I can take, I can consume it, I can eat it, I can drink it, I can think it, I can do whatever it is and then apply it into my life. And if I can get to the place of trusting God because he trusts me, and no, it was not easy. I done been to the potter house so many times, but this is why I thank God that I can go back and I can repent from the things. He gives me an opportunity. He understands me. He examines my heart, and he does not give up on me, but he trusted me. I had to go through some things in order even for me to become, to be ordained as an evangelist. It took 2 years plus because I had to prove myself to God. He had already proven himself to me. I had to prove myself to him and get into a place where I can walk and talk and be an example. And every day I have to ask God to renew my mind, to create in me a clean heart, to stay in that place. So again, I'm thankful that Apostle Temple came on. He was obedient. See, ooh, Jesus, when you are trusting the Lord, that obedience comes in as well, and you just allow, you let go, and you let God. And God has given us some more with his wisdom, his knowledge on today, and I pray that you all consumed it, you all received it, you all grasped it, and you took notes. You took notes. You took notes so you can go back and share the nuggets that you received, the information that you received today with somebody else, because we have to get out of this place where we are trusting the words of mama and those. We're trusting the words of great-great-grandmother or great-great. But we don't know in our reality if those words is what God has said. We only going by the things that has been told to us. We're only going by the things that different people have said, but we're not actually walking in to what God has for us. We're not actually doing the things that God has for us. So this is where we need to be, and this is where we are going to be if we continue to allow God to lead us and guide us, and you're in a place where you're willing to be sold out. So we will see you all again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We never know what God has for us. Just be in a place to receive, be into a place to be blessed, be into a place, because this is the time that God is turning some things around. This is the time that God is being a game changer, and you don't want to not be on the freight train, because as we all said 2 weeks ago, he is moving. He is moving in a mightily way, and you want to be a part of that. So I sit in and say to you all again, we thank you for coming to our executive meeting. We pray that you receive the daily manna that God gave you to eat on today, and the water, the living water that he gave you as well. So we're going to go knowing that we are in a place right now where we're learning how to trust. Invite someone else on. Get sharing is caring. Have people to come on and let them know that God is speaking his words. He's speaking the true, unadulterated words, and you want to be a part of it in the name of Jesus. So we leave you with peace, love, and happiness. Have a marvelous Monday. Do not let anything or anybody deter you from what God has given you on this day, and that is a new mercies, a brand new day, and all things, old things are passed away, and you have a fresh start in the name of Jesus. Have a beautiful day. God bless.
Of her.